Oh my God. Guys. What's happening right now? I'm hearing way too much sound. Okay. There we go. Christian. Come on, dude. What the fuck is happening today? Christian Torres, how are you doing, sir?
Well, man, when it rains, it pours, is the old saying. And Jesus Christ, that's so fucking applicable to this situation in this show. How are you doing, man? I think you're on the verge of a fucking breakdown.
Okay. You can do this. You can do this. You're strong. You're handsome. You're very empowering. You influence others. Today's the day. Listen, does the sound work? We got sound, people. Let's go ahead and see what
good.
The toasties
are. We're confirmed. We're good.
Okay. We got it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What's in the Box. This is episode 30. I am DJ Miles, and when I was saying I hate Windows laptops, then we get some other internal stuff. Corey Coleman, my boss, so gracious to help me out, hold my hand in every step of the way. Thank you, boss man. If you end up watching a repeat viewing of this, I really appreciate it. Let's go ahead and turn down this music. God, I've just been so flustered today, Mr. Torres. But you know what? Valentine's Day is around the corner, and I know all of you just want to know what we got for today in terms of loving news. So listen, we're going to be talking about Legion. We're going to be talking about what else are we talking about here? Hold on. Let me pick up my notes here. We're going to be talking about The Last Man. We're going to go over some Super Bowl stuff. We're going to be talking about Pen 15, Big Mouth, and so much more. So welcome, everyone. Let me go ahead and finally turn down this music here. And, of course, the chat is there. Thank you guys for watching and supporting each and every week. And, of course, you can always go to DoubleToasted.com, the official merchandise of Double Toasted, where you can get all the latest and signature tees that they have going on. And we got the February T-shirt of the month here with the Kung Fu TJ. So go ahead and pick that up. And once again, now that we are here, let's go ahead and just kind of start with the first breakdown of my new stuff over here. So let me go ahead. Christian, what do you want to start things off with this week?
Look, man, let's start with some of the TCA stuff, right? So the Television Critics Association had their big annual meeting and a bunch of cool news stories came out, but specifically FX related stuff, right? So there were some big announcements for a bunch of different shows. Do you have any preference there, or should we start anywhere I want?
Yeah, let's start anywhere you want.
All right, man, let's start with the bad news first, which is also good news, which is Legion is coming back for season 3. I'm very, very excited because for me, it's the most cerebral goddamn comic book adaptation out there. The bad news is season 3 is it. It's ending. But anyone who's been watching this show, look, they'll tell you right off the bat, it's probably for the best. This show is so out there and so cerebral and like it circumvents conventional storytelling to the point where sometimes you're lost and you have no idea what's going on, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think 3 seasons is about right for that property, and I'm really excited. Additionally, Noah Hawley, who show runs that, he's going to be shooting Fargo season 4 in this upcoming November, so we might get that by April of next year. But a lot of news just on Noah Hawley. But yeah, man, and you've never gotten into it. Well, what's up with that?
No. You're breaking up. My bad.
Well, I was just asking, like, I love Legion. I'm a big fan of it. You've never seen it. So, I mean, are you going to try to jump in before this? I think it's like 20 episodes total, man. It's not insurmountable.
Yeah, no, it's not hard. But you know what? It's just another thing where I'm like, listen, there's just so much TV coming out there. And I heard Legion was good. And I know the Toasties have also said, too, that Legion was amazing. So, but I still don't care for it. I know. Does that make me bad?
I don't know. What are you going to say you don't fucking care for? You've never seen the goddamn thing before, man. Doesn't it? Like, listen, doesn't the idea of superheroes as we know it being kind of like Glass did this, but Glass fucking sucked a little bit, didn't it? Let's just admit it, even though I defend that movie. This show is really great because it's like, what would these powers seem like in real life? And it would be perceived as mental illness, right? He's hearing voices and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really good emotional entry point to kind of look at superheroes as we know it through the prism of mental illness, and also to know that that's not what it is, you know? So it's a great story. Plus, that's the third season big news is they're going to have Professor X show up, because that's who David Haller is. He's Professor X's kid in the comics. But they've been really mum about that connection on the show so far, with the exception of like one shot where there's a silhouette of a bald guy in a wheelchair. So they like gave it to you, but they didn't, like, there was no time spent there. So that's how they're going to conclude this whole story. They're going to, you know, figure out how to incorporate that. And I just thought you'd be a bigger fan of that, man, at least on paper.
No, on paper, I do like the X-Men series and franchise. Let me ask you, when you're saying that Professor X is going to come in this upcoming season, is it kind of like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they kind of like talk about the events of the Marvel stuff, but it's like it's connected, but it's not connected? Is it one of those things with Legion?
No, that's why I love Legion so much. Legion is singularly its own thing. Like, yeah, they have mutants in the world, and that's an acknowledgement. But for the most part, there's no, like, remember that one time Apocalypse happened? You know what I'm saying? Like, remember that time we all went back and changed the goddamn timeline of the movies? Like, no, none of that happens. You know, it's very much its own thing, with the exception that it exists within the X-Men universe. So that's how they're going to end up putting a bow tie on it, is finally kind of committing to the Professor X of it all. And I think that's going to be a super fucking interesting way to tie it up, man. So again, I can't recommend it enough. I think Noah Hawley is like probably the most genius dude working in TV right now, because the fact that he can do Legion and Fargo and nail both of those tones, which are wildly different. Yeah, man. So you got to get on it. You got to get on it, please.
All right. Listen, if the Toasties want me to watch Legion, I will go ahead and watch Legion. So what else do we got here in terms of FX news, Christian?
Let's talk about one that I think you'll like, but I'm a bigger fan of, which is Why the Last Man, which is a comic book by Brian K. Vaughan, which I actually have right here because I'm a big fucking fan of it. Brian K. Vaughan's also written Saga, which I know you're a little bit familiar with. You're not a huge comic guy, but I know you've read some of that.
Yeah, Saga's great. Mm-hmm.
So they're picking this up. And listen, you know, other than Preacher, which I've told you is like the tippy top of whatever, Why the Last Man is the greatest comic ever written, in my opinion. And it's one of those things where I'm terrified because I did not really like the Preacher adaptation, as we said. But this is different, you know. It's like a high concept, sexy story. But basically, what happens is every single man, it's in the title, every single man, everything with a Y chromosome. All right, so not just humans, like fucking all animals, everything in the world that has a Y chromosome dies at the same time, with the exception of one guy named Yorick and his pet monkey, Ampersand. That's the whole fucking premise. And then it's him traveling, like basically walking the wasteland as like women are the only people left running the world. So like, it's a really great thing. Also, it's one of the only comics that straight up made me cry. Like, there's a part at the end that is just so goddamn sad that it makes you want to kill yourself a little bit.
Yeah,
but in a good way, right? Like BoJack sadness.
Gotcha.
So they're picking this up. Now here's where you're gonna like it. All right, so they got to play Yorick's mom, right? Because the story basically follows one family, which is Yorick and his sister Hero, both Shakespeare names. But his mom ends up being like, I don't know if she's the president or like second in line, but so many men died that the secession plan moved like all these women up to be president, vice president, secretary of state, shit like that.
Right? Okay.
His mom is played by Martha, man, your girl, your pencil skirt, Diane Lane from House of Cards, man. I know how much you love that lady.
Oh my God.
I know, guys, man. See, look at that.
Guys,
now I got you.
Baby,
right?
Girl is looking so fine. God damn, dude.
High concept aside, now you're in, right? Now you have an emotional entry point. You want to watch this shit because you want to see your baby over there, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Dude, I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's shaping up to be a really good adaptation. I'm really excited about it. And of course, there's always something lost in translation. We'll talk about The Walking Dead a little bit later. That obviously has its problems. Preacher, like I said, but there's still a chance for this. Look, they've had the rights for this for 5 years and they have not rushed it. They have chosen to take their time and they just ordered it to series. So I feel really good about it, man. I'm really excited. You not being a comic book person, how you feeling about the main concept of the show?
Dude, I think it's super interesting. And what's even more intriguing is that, listen, I don't know that much about them funny book boys and comic books, not that much, but something like this, if you yourself, Christian, being the comic book connoisseur that you are, saying that this is one of the best things you ever read, then I'm actually super excited to see how it's going to be adapted into a TV show. And not only that, like you said, they took their sweet time with it. So if they've been taking their sweet time with it, then I think they know they got something really good and they don't want to fuck it up. So I'm actually really intrigued and honestly excited, Diane Lane aside, about this show. So there is that. And what else do we have here in terms of FX news, Mr. Torres?
Yeah, let's stay with the TCA. So listen, our boy Taika Waititi, right, did a great job with Thor Ragnarok. Before he did that shit, he did a charming little fucking vampire movie called What We Do in the Shadows, right? Mm-hmm. FX recently picked it up, and both Taika is involved and Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords. That was the other co-creator. So these guys are making an FX television adaptation of it, and I'm kind of excited about it. The trailer's weird and it's stupid, but in the same exact comedy that the movie was. So I just want to play the trailer really quickly, and we can kind of dissect it after the fact.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Let me get this up here, and let's go. Sorry.
No time.
Do I have volume?
He awakens.
Very cool, Master. Very scary.
Thank you.
Nadja, Laszlo!
Yeah.
Yes?
Can you come downstairs for a second, please?
The problems with living with other vampires are the vampires I have chosen to stay with.
I wanted to talk about general hygiene in the cell. Last night, there were all these people down there, half drunk.
Well, where did they find the alcohol?
No, they were half drunk. They've been half drunk.
If you've got something to say, then damn well say it.
It's not hygienic!
Nandor is like a big turkey.
Cannot pay with that.
I'm so sorry.
So you can't be throwing ancient coins at me.
Guillermo,
stab
this man.
Guillermo is my familiar.
I'm not a killer. I find people who are easy to kill.
Are you virgins?
I don't see how that's relevant.
I'm killing it, babe.
Oh, that's werewolf piss.
Two werewolves.
Colin, what are you doing in here?
This is my bedroom.
My name is Colin Robinson.
Hi, Deb.
And I am a energy vampire. We either bore you with a long conversation.
Hey, Don.
Or...
Don.
We enrage you.
Something terrible is coming!
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Master, this is pretty macabre.
I've got my cake caught in the door.
Well, yank it out.
I don't know what I think about that trailer, man. Like, I don't hate it, but I'm not too crazy about it either. So I'm kind of curious to know what type of humor can we expect with this show, Christian?
Really dry and really New Zealand-esque. It's hard to explain. Like, I'm a big fan of Flight of the Conchords, and I really like the original movie. So if you're kind of like, if you can buy into that whole concept of how dry the humor is going to be, and it's going to be way more about like cultural things, right? So like, there's a joke in the movie where the vampires are warring against werewolves the whole time. And there's a point where one of the werewolves cusses, he says, fuck. And one of the other werewolves freaks out and he's like, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. But he says it in a cute fucking Australian, New Zealand-y, Kiwi sort of way that you're like, oh, that's funny, I guess. Like, the whole thing is just like, you know, they're trying to do a main concept of like, like a reality, real world sort of thing, but with the ancient vampires and one normal guy. So I don't know. I think the trailer isn't, you know, knocked down hilarious, but it's definitely the same vein as the film was. And you really loved Thor, right? The last Thor.
Yeah.
Same type of humor, man. It really is. Like, that's what's so really special about that director is like the ability to translate that from a weird vampire $1 million movie to doing it in a Marvel big budget, you know, color fest. So I think you should give it some credibility, man.
No, I'll definitely give it some credit.
But too much talent involved for it to be just.
Oh, we good?
Yeah, we're great.
Okay. Sorry. No, it looks like you're going in and out. So my bad. So listen, I'm kind of curious to know what the Toasties have to say and what people have to say right down below. So let me know what you guys think about that. I do love how right away they're like from the directors of Thor Ragnarok, because yes, I would promote the fuck out of that, you know, to get a show like this, and it's to get the show running. So. Now there was one more bit of news with FX stuff. And what is that, Mr. Torres?
Let's talk about American Crime Story, but before we do that quickly, listen, I'm getting some complaints here that people can hear the chat through your monitor. So turn the chat sound off.
Shit. Okay.
There you go.
How the hell do I turn this shit off?
Hold on, you do that. In the meantime, I'm going to introduce this whole thing if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So check it out, man. So American Crime Story was a big fucking news story a couple of years back for the OJ one. And then the Gianni Versace one came out last year, which I've heard was even better. It was slower paced and not as sexy, but still a really good adaptation. So all they were talking about even before that one was the original second season of American Crime Story was supposed to be about Hurricane Katrina. And everyone thought that was kind of weird and maybe too soon and how they were going to tackle that. You know what I mean? So they ended up switching that. They said, okay, that's going to be season three. They went ahead and did the Versace one first. Now at the TCA, John Landgraf, the guy who runs FX, says it's just canceled. Like, they're not going to do American Crime Story Katrina. Doesn't mean that it is canceled fully. Like, I think there will be other American Crime Stories in the future, but it means that this one that they worked on for like 3 or 4 years got scrapped unceremoniously. And there were a bunch of actors already attached to it. I had long said that it was kind of an unnecessary show because anyone who had seen Tremé on HBO, like, already happened. They nailed it. They nailed it from the poor perspective, the rich perspective, from corrupt FEMA agents to like contractors. Like the definitive word had been said on Hurricane Katrina and how it affected New Orleans. So in a way, I'm actually really happy it got canceled. But I know people seem to really love that series. I mean, did you ever watch the OJ one, Miles?
No. I never watched this. All this is new to me, man. So, I mean, is it still worth the damn? Like, I don't know, dude.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, the OJ one, despite them really trying to knock you over the fucking head with the Kardashian references, because lest we forget, Kim Kardashian's dad was a part of OJ's legal counsel. So anytime they can, there's just like a scene where they cut to the Kardashians as children screaming Kardashian for no fucking reason. Aside from that, it's actually a really, really solid season of TV. Kind of breaks down this thing that we all kind of remember, but maybe not know every single facet and every detail of it. So that was good. I heard the second one was really great. But yeah, again, it's just like with Tremé, it seemed like it didn't make sense. And Marcus just said it here, which is great in the chat, but Spike Lee has two fucking amazing documentaries already about Katrina that are heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. There's no need to kind of go into that story. It's already been done. So is it worth it? Yeah, man. Check out the first two seasons. It's not, the brand isn't dead. They're going to do more seasons. They haven't announced what it's going to be yet. But, you know, the point is, like, it's still pretty good television and it's worth watching. You know, I think the first season won a bunch of Emmys. So check it out, man.
Okay, will do. So that was it for all of our FX stuff. And next up, Christian, do you want to talk about, you know what? I want to talk about Big Mouth.
Do it.
So yeah. Big Mouth just released a trailer, to my surprise, right around the time of Valentine's Day. So let's go ahead and play that. And then we'll be right back with our thoughts.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Wait, did you say Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the time of the Valentine.
It's Valentine's Day at Bridgeton Middle. Who's your Valentine?
Meet Reese's Wurtherspoons, my girlfriend who is things.
I always blow it on Valentine's Day because I try too hard. But this year, I'm flipping the script, Daddy-O.
All right.
Is this trying too hard? I got it at top, man, yet it screams bottom.
What you doing here?
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, very cute.
Oh, God, this feels so good. I'm gonna come. Oh, my God. Oh! Oh!
It's a little overdone, don't you know?
I have a heat novel. A builder of them.
Get those vinegar strokes in, why don't you? So, listen, everyone knows I am a huge, huge fan of Big Mouth. Them doing a Valentine's thing is pretty sweet. I'm kind of curious to see how it plays out. But nevertheless, I see something like this and I'm already hooked because I love the humor involved with it. Christian, how do you feel about this?
It's going to be a really interesting conversation because when we talk about Pen 15 later on, because those two are so very similar to me in that they're trying to make you fucking cringe the entire time you're watching it, but they're really funny. And more importantly, as crazy as it ends up being, and yeah, there's like puberty monsters and shit like that. There are like emotionally honest moments in that show in Big Mouth, like so much so that I wasn't ready for them when they happened. I thought it was just going to be like a really crude show and make me fucking feel awkward, but it's not. They have like emotional honesty all the time. So yeah, I mean, I think that's cool, but it also kind of shows you that Netflix knows what they have on their hands. They kind of do this with certain animation projects. We saw BoJack get a Christmas special very early on. And it just seems like they kind of want to keep the goodwill going. Same thing with the Sabrina thing. They're like, we have a hit, let's just put an episode out so we don't lose any momentum until we have the next stuff come out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, you're a bigger fan than I am. Everything about that trailer looks good to you?
Yeah. No, it looks amazing. It's funny. I think why I like the show so much is that, you know, it's like, okay, it's kids trying to figure out their sexualities in those years where things are just crazy. And you hear advice from one person, so that's what you think it is. Or you take advice from another person, and you're like, oh, maybe that's how it's done. So with them revolving, you know, just the inner workings of sexuality when you're first experiencing it with you know, Valentine's Day, because you know it's such a big deal when you're in middle school and high school, is going to be pretty hilarious for me, and I'm really excited to see what they do with it. So since we were just talking about that 2 seconds ago, I think we might as well just talk about Pen 15. Do you want to go ahead and jump into that, Christian?
Yeah, man, it seems like a perfect transition. So Pen 15 is a new Hulu show. It's by executive producers of The Lonely Island, but I don't want to give them too much credit because the stars of the show, and we have a trailer, we'll show the trailer for you guys. They actually are the showrunners. They created it and they're writing most of the episodes and all that. Very similar to Big Mouth. Watch the trailer, you'll totally get it, but this isn't a cartoon, this is live action. So do we have the trailer ready, Miles?
We do.
Let's do it.
Gonna be so amazing.
It's gonna be really, really good.
It's gonna be like the best year of our lives.
Shuji, get off AOL.
I feel like we should make a pact.
Let's like do everything together.
Yeah, no doubt. Like all our first together, like our first kiss.
Hey Anna, did you?
No!
I was just looking for my disc.
No!
You're 13.
And you're still playing with dolls?
How dare you do this to me, bitch?
Alex broke up with Heather.
It's happening.
I guess he, like, loves me or whatever.
I'm really, 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 really sorry.
It's Jill.
Here with your mom? Or here alone, bitch?
Did you drink this beer?
Yeah!
Maya, we're gonna be supermodels.
I don't know what you're doing here, Maya.
You know, you almost look like you were missing. And I know you're not, because you're right there.
Thank you for the note.
What if Brendan wants to kiss me tomorrow?
Are you guys talking about masturbating?
It's just porn, dork.
Why do you think she'd lie?
She might be going through something that has nothing to do with you.
Maya!
What's the smell? I
wanna
be
seventh grade.
You are my actual rainbow gel pen in a sea of blue and black writing utensils.
So we'll do it together.
Yeah, duh.
One, two, three.
Go! Go!
What happened in the closet with that boy?
Like, he wanted to hook up with me, but I was like,
I'm a scarecrow.
What?
Bad. All right, and that was Pen 15. Let me turn that down. So, Christian, I've seen the first 2.5 episodes, and again, for people who just watched the trailer, it follows two middle schoolers going into seventh grade, Mary and Anne, and trying to just figure out everything happening with middle school. It's so funny. I see these the few episodes I caught, and I'm here thinking, I'm like, fuck, I thought high school was hard to fit in and just to assume you kind of figured it out. But middle school, they've done a great job of showcasing, fuck, was middle school that complicated for me? It was pretty insane watching. But it does have some like Napoleon Dynamite humor too. Wouldn't you agree? Or did you get some other kind of humor when you saw some of the episodes?
I mean, in that much, I want to say it's a lot like Lonely Island, right? Because that type of humor wouldn't have been out of place in like Pop Star or Hot Rod or something like that, right? It's like really irreverent. A little bit of Napoleon Dynamite in terms of the dryness, but it really kind of does its own thing, in my opinion. I really like it. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's fucking gross out and it's really uncomfortable. And the other thing that we're not talking about here is like, motherfucker, now we're at the time where the 2000s are being fictionalized. Like, we're old, man. Like, it's happened. We're fucking old. We're all going to die one day. And now I know it because fucking Pen 15 exists. And that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I do actually like the show a lot because of the same thing with Big Mouth, like emotional honesty. So there's the, you know, two examples. The end of the first scene, you know, one of the characters had a really, or end of the first episode, one of the characters has had a really terrible day, and she doesn't want to even go face the kids. She doesn't want to continue doing seventh grade or whatever. And in that moment, as for all the crazy, loopy, awkward shit that happens, that's what the show is about. It's like having a fucking friend. It's an ode. It's a love letter to your best friend who helped you get through this incredibly awkward time. And I love that. The last thing I want to say is, like, obviously these are people in their 30s and everyone else is like 13 or 14 years old, mm-hmm. which should be really bad. But for some reason, and tell me if you disagree, I think it lends to the fact that they're, the point they're trying to make, which is like, yo, you feel awkward as fuck in middle and high school, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
feel like an outcast. You feel like you're too tall or your hair's weird and all that shit. And so believe it or not, I think having them be like 31-year-old people playing against 14-year-olds adds to that weird kind of awkwardness that was present when they were of age. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's you know, it's crazy to watch because they do, I don't know. It's like, again, exploring the things when you're a middle schooler, right? Like, oh, maybe trying a cigarette, you know? Oh, drinking a beer for the first time. Oh, the concept of masturbation, right? And it's crazy because when you watch these episodes of like, oh, they're not in elementary school anymore. They're transitioning into middle school as seventh graders. But there's still those tendencies that you still want to hold on to when you're a kid, right? Like playing with action figures and stuff like that. And then getting called out for it. They do such a great job within these episodes where the kids, they're like, oh, these two chicks are playing with dolls, right? Let's make fun of them. And I'm like, damn. These kids are going fucking hard on these young girls, man. Like, what the hell's going on here? You know? So I do like that. Just like you said, Christian, like Big Mouth does, it has these emotional honesties and they kind of like linger on for a moment because when they happen to you or when you watch it happen, you're like, oh yeah, like I think I may have known someone in a situation like that. So I think this show is actually pretty good and I thoroughly enjoy it. So do you have any last second remarks that you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, just the last thing, which is like, I like it also because it's a counterpoint to something like Big Mouth. And I think equal opportunity is like a big deal, right? Like, hey, women also went through awkward shit during their middle school years, but it's not represented in the same way that we have it, right? Netflix, Big Mouth kind of does that. So I just think that that's pretty cool. Even that scene where they're getting made fun of with dolls, they turn it around. They're like, but you play with G.I. Joes. And they're like, but he's ripped. It's not the same thing. It's like, no, of course it's the same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really like the show exists because I think it's good that women also get to have their fucking shame portrayed on screen yeah. Because there's so much of our awkwardness out there already. So yeah, highly recommend it. Go check it out.
Cool. All right. So next thing, I do have the Super Bowl commercials. Do you want to get into that or is there something else you want to cover first? I guess we can talk about Walking Dead. Or do Super Bowl commercials leading into The Walking Dead of it all?
Yeah, look, yeah. I just want to play this one commercial. Like, they put two out and one of them was a proper trailer, but this other one was just indicative of how much of a joke. And maybe you're all going to see it and you're all going to be like, Christian, you're stupid. That's fine. That's a very real possibility. But it's such a cheesy fucking like, we're stone's throw away, man, from what this show used to be in terms of they at least used to nail their commercials, right? The Super Bowl one is just really laughably bad. And so I just want to play that and then we'll talk about some Walking Dead news afterwards. But yeah, Miles, do you have it ready?
I do have it ready. And let me just say before I start playing it, when I saw it, I'm like, no way that's a fucking commercial. Like, was that played during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, during like the fucking first quarter commercial break, that shit came on. And I'm like, what the fuck is this, man? Like, and listen, Game of Thrones, who we always like, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, we always put them in competition with each other. It's not like they did much better. I know people have already seen these commercials, but I know you haven't. So we're going to talk about this. And let's start with Walking Dead and then we'll move on to the other stuff.
All right. Let me get this volume up here. Okay.
Do it.
And I still don't have volume. Hold on. What is going on? Oh, there we go. Okay, let's start this over again, folks.
Not be real. That's crazy.
Stop defending this show. Stop it. Stop
it's over.
Like, it's done. It's fucking done. I'm, as a matter of fact, I'm gonna just played the last 10 seconds, and I don't know how people can defend this show anymore. This show is fucking diarrhea. But let's go back, just in case they think we're too harsh on it, Christian. Let me get this shit on.
Oh. Yeah, just the rookies. That's the part that got me. No, all right, hold on. Nick Diaz is in here fucking defending this shit, by the way.
Let me just say, my God.
I realize they actually released real footage, but here's the thing. Fucking brand. What's the word I'm looking for here, man? Like, you protect your fucking brand, okay? No one in charge of Walking Dead should have been like, that's a good idea. Let's fucking do that. You know what I mean? Horrific. And it's so indicative of how bad this show has fucking gotten. Also, the Whisperers look like shit, right? Like, I'm not crazy. Even in the actual footage, they look like shit.
Yeah. No, they look fucking pretty bad. I want to see what the chat has to say. What? Okay, Jet Jackson, that was so bad. Ruthless Wonder, what is this bullshit? Yeah, listen. I remember when we made fun of the Whisperers the first time, but man, Christian, they had to throw it in there. They had to do that. What you gonna do, brother, when the
it's just like it's played for laughs, dude. It's played for laughs. There's nothing menacing or fucking scary or like tension building about those. I feel bad because they really set up all of the back half of season 9 to be like, oh, the Whisperers, man, that's our next formidable opponent. And it's like, I don't care. Nothing about them freaks me out. Like, remember when Negan was at least like interesting? Like, the buildup of Negan was at least well done. And you're like, oh, I get that he's a scary dude. Are you at all scared? Toasties, are you guys scared at all of these fucking people? It's just really bad. I feel like we're just complaining for the sake of complaining. But,
because it's fun. I mean, listen, let's be real, people. It's fun to make it's easy to make fun of this shit. And let's continue on with the Walking Dead news. So we got I forgot the actress's name, so I apologize. But we got Michonne here is leaving The Walking Dead. Is this after season 10, Christian, or is she just leaving after the end of part 9, the second half of part 9?
Yeah, she's going to pull a Maggie. I think she's going to appear in like 6 episodes is what the initial number is. Do not quote me on that. Danai Gadeda, by the way, is her name. So she's leaving. And look, this is something we thought would have happened because she's making that Black Panther money now. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, she doesn't need this shit anymore. But to her credit, she stayed around, and we thought she would at least be a presence that helped transition to the Rickless era of Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. So, like, look, we're having the same conversation we had when Rick left, which is like, okay, what does this mean? Does this mean that the show can be good? Absolutely, right? Any chaos is a chance for opportunity to do something different, right? Like, absolutely. That's what it really is. Mm-hmm. So someone could come in there and do something really interesting with it. But the problem is, I really think that we're getting to the point where it's like, it's just different. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a car and you just keep replacing every single part in the car, eventually it's not the same car anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Walking Dead is just going through such a change, and it's not a show like ER or Law and Order, something that leads itself to having new people come in and out so easily. Like, this is a show that was for the most part built on Rick's back, and now like another big, big foundational player is taken off. So I don't know, man. I don't know what this means for the future of the show. I know that Carol and Daryl, both of the actors and actresses, they signed crazy deals to stay with the franchise.
Damn, dude.
But I don't think there's going to be a franchise to stay at very long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Listen, I've never seen this show, so I really can't poke fun of it. But is this shit going to become like the next Supernatural, where there's like fucking 24 seasons? Because clearly there's still story to tell amongst those three fucking supernatural people, right? I don't know the fucking story. I just know there's those three white guys with heaven and hell. This is going to become The Walking Dead. There's going to be a point where it's like season 22 of The Walking Dead, and there's still going to be those fucking loyalists, which kudos to you. Like, Christian gives me a lot of shit for not watching The Sopranos or The Wire or 6 Feet Under or whatever the fuck. And then there's people who are watching season 22 of The Walking Dead. So I'm just saying, Christian, you can't be that angry at me if someone's still watching.
I can't be because I expect way more. Do you want me to compare you to Walking Dead fans? Because no, it's a very low bar. You understand? Like, I don't want to insult you that much. But also, even the Supernatural thing, man. Listen, Supernatural has the same fucking people, I think, for the most part. It's just the two brothers. And I know auxiliary characters have come and go, but you know what I'm saying? That's not the same thing. So I just... Walking Dead's going to fall apart.
Look at the thing that Kevin King said. The Whisperers, dude. That's pretty accurate if you ask me. Man, I love that. Kevin King, thank you. You have just made my day, sir. Okay, so Walking Dead. Walking Dead is diarrhea. What else here? Oh, should I go ahead and play the Game of Thrones trailer or Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as bad. It's one of those things, but again, brand awareness and brand protection, right? So it's like Game of Thrones, something that we've always felt is like upper echelon TV and like will be on the, well, not anymore because of last season, but could have been on the Mount Rushmore. And if it sticks the landing, it still can be. Why would they ever do a Bud Light commercial? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it, swords and sandals and shit like that. And you want to, it's easy to do that. There's a fucking knight. But this again, much like the Walking Dead thing, did not play the way they think it played. Because when you find out, like, there's a big twist here in the middle of this commercial for people that haven't seen it, but the mountain fucking shows up. And all of a sudden you realize you're in Game of Thrones times. Man, fuck. Like, what's going on, Miles? What do you think this is? Is it just like, wouldn't they have been better served if they just would have played an official trailer? You have 105 million people watching the Super Bowl. Why not put an actual fucking trailer out for Game of Thrones season 8 instead to do a Bud Light commercial, which was not funny? Ugh, it missed the mark, man. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's like this protection of the branding you were just talking about not too long ago. I see this. I'm like, okay, this is cool. This is all in jest, right? Like, oh, that's from the Mountain versus the Viper, right? And of course, that's really great. But who wins out of this, you know? And I'm just being critical because I'm not trying to be hard on it. I'm just like, so does Bud Light win? Does HBO win? Because if I'm HBO / Game of Thrones, I'm thinking, I don't think I would do anything like this. Not to say Bud Light is bad necessarily, but, you know.
No, it's bad. I'll say it. You don't have to. It's not good, but that's not the point. Mm-hmm. Like, no one wins here. I guess Bud Light wins by proxy that they got something like Game of Thrones to be a part of their ad campaign. Other than that, dude, it's not good. And that's my point. Had they dropped a trailer in the middle of fucking halftime, you would have been like, oh, shit. Right? No, they don't. They do this. And I just feel like, again, it undercuts it. Now, if we can talk about the one show that absolutely nailed it, right? Which is Jordan Peele's The Twilight Zone, man. They put that trailer out in the middle of the fucking Super Bowl. And they even tricked you into thinking that it was the live coverage coming back. I mean, when we play it, it'll make sense. But they nailed it. They kept it classy. They kept it simple. And yet by the end of the trailer, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm in. Like, that seems genuinely interesting.
Witness an empty space filled with thousands of screaming people. A man both nowhere and everywhere at the same time. Answers are new questions. The unthinkable is the expected. When truth is not the truth, what dimension are you even in?
Dude, I am so fucking hyped for that, dude. That's how you do a commercial. That's how you do it.
Take note, motherfuckers. Wow. Take note. Y'all ain't Don Draper. Don Draper made that fucking commercial. It was simple. It was elegant. That motherfucker walking through a door and not coming through the other side was more visually arresting than any of the other Walking Dead Game of Thrones trailers combined.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a great trailer, man. And also, you felt it, right? Like, you felt like, okay, I understand what the tone of the show is going to be.
Yep.
And it was also great to hear him doing the narration voice. Mm-hmm. That was like, it was somewhere between Obama and like his Neil deGrasse Tyson impersonation from Key and Peele, if you remember them. But in any case, like, it's good. And I'm even more excited and of the belief that he's going to nail it, man. This guy is on such a fucking wave right now. His next movie looks great and this looks no different. So I know you've seen a couple episodes, but just that trailer, man, what you feeling?
Oh, dude, excited. I am fucking excited. You nailed it. They got the theme down right away. I see it. I'm like, if I was watching the Super Bowl, I'm like, oh shit, here we go with the fucking Twilight Zone. Dude, it just sucks you in. And I think because you and I are just big fans of the Twilight Zone and, you know, Jordan Peele's name is on it. God, like, I need it now, Christian. I fucking need it now, dude. I need it now before the whispers are going to get me. Okay. I need it now, goddammit.
Which, that comes back tomorrow. So maybe we should have a special segment where we get Nick to come on and he defends it. But really, I just make him cry. I mean, that's what I want to do. But yeah, look, really excited. We're only 6 weeks away from it. The other thing I was going to say quickly, and we were talking about this last week, is like, look, Twilight Zone shaping up to be really fucking good. There's a new Star Trek show coming out with Jean-Luc Picard, right? Patrick Stewart's going to come back to do another one. The Stand just got announced. CBS is making moves, man. And I know ordinarily I would never spend money on a monthly thing to get CBS, but they're starting to go out and get like really great can't miss content because these wars are coming, man. I've heard this Apple thing might launch in April. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, it's all coming, man. And people are stocking up. The arms race is, we're in the middle of it. So really excited, man, to see it up.
If this is going to be like the second season of Game of Thrones, the War of the Five Kings, then I'm all for it. I mean, shit, you got CBS is now doing the streaming stuff, and the first show or one of the highlighted shows they want to say and tell the whole audience, listen, you can only watch this fucking Twilight Zone Jordan Peele thing right here. So get on it, you know, because now here I am. Here's another fucking $4.99 I'm going to shell out or however amount it's going to cost, you know, so I'm definitely on board with it. So let's go ahead and move on over to the next thing I have here, Christian. And that is, I got MacGruber here. Is this a short bullet point or are we talking some nonsense with this story?
Yeah, we'll talk for a minute, all right? Because I don't know how familiar you are with MacGruber, right? MacGruber was an SNL character created by actually one of the Lonely Island people, Jorma Taccone, right? So, it's really interesting to me. It was an SNL skit that became a movie, and the movie was kind of liked but not loved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's something that is in recent years grown, like it's become a cult movie or whatever. And so I grabbed two clips. They're only about a minute, I think. They're combined, so it's not too long. But it's the basic concept of what MacGruber is. MacGruber is a shittier version of MacGyver. And if you don't know MacGyver, MacGyver was the guy who could pretty much like create things out of fucking bubblegum and like rubber bands.
Yeah,
and
some random shit. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's their like fucking version of it. But yeah, turn this up. I want you to hear the concept of this.
Okay.
Mandatlock, we're trapped.
That's not our only problem, MacGruber. From the looks of that nitrogen bomb, we've only got 20 seconds.
Don't worry, Vicky. Chill, Durrell. We'll have plenty of time to relax. Time to chill, Durrell. Once we get out of here. Once we scram, Durrell.
It's pronounced Daryl.
Oh, like a white Daryl.
10 seconds, MacGruber.
Okay, Vicky, hand me that Allen wrench.
You got it, MacGruber.
Okay, Durrell.
Daryl.
Funk me over deck. Copper wire. Out of sight.
It's Daryl.
Okay, Vicky, hand me that stir stick.
On the way, MacGruber.
Durrell.
It's Daryl.
Jazz me over deck. Fly shoelace, you dig?
MacGruber, I don't know if this is working out.
That reminds me of a good joke. What do you get when you cross a Mexican with a black?
MacGruber.
Excuse me, a black African-American. Mo better?
Yeah, mo better.
Okay, so you cross a Mexican with a black African-American and a Jew and a woman, and what do you get? I don't know, but I sure don't want that person to move in next door to me.
MacGruber!
All right. You want me to play the other clip, Christian? Mr. Torres, are you still here?
Yeah, it's a continuation. It's a continuation.
Okay.
Play it.
My bad.
It'll be done.
And did a lot of soul searching. MacGruber. He spent some time in Africa and learned about their culture. MacGruber. He's Facebook friends with Spike Lee now. MacGruber.
MacGruber, this door won't budge.
There's more, MacGruber. That ticking time bomb is set to blow in 20 seconds.
Okay, look. Before we start here, I have something I want to say. The road towards enlightenment takes many turns. Unfortunately, mine took me straight to you, Daryl.
Daryl.
And it is with great pleasure that I announce that in 2 Mondays, for the first time ever, we will be taking the day off to celebrate the life of a man that I consider to be my personal hero, Dr. Martin Rufus King.
That's Luther. Oh,
right, Luther. You're Rufus.
I'm Daryl.
Whatever. Look.
15 seconds.
I know I have a ways to go, Daryl, but I'm headed in the right direction. So put her there. Hey, he's got a gun!
If you don't get it, the main punchline is MacGruber dies every single time, yet he always comes back to life because that's MacGruber. Like, dude, I don't know. It's like a terrible sketch that somehow is my favorite thing in the entire world, and I could watch it for hours if need be. And they're going to turn this into an 8 to 10 episode TV show as
That's
a continuation
crazy,
of the movie. I'm into it, man. Yeah. I love Will Forte. You never watched Last Man on Earth, right?
No,
which is the
no.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller show. It's really good, man. He's a talented guy because he commits to it. You know what I'm saying? You can say that it's silly, but you can't say that that motherfucker is not like totally committed to whatever he's doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. Fuck all these people in the chat. Fuck you, Nick Diaz. You like The Walking Dead. And I love you.
Nick Diaz right here. Yeah, this is just awful. Man, listen, I think it just works great as a sketch. You said 8 to 10 episodes?
Right, which you can't do that for 8 to 10 episodes. But the movie also didn't do that to its defense. It was an actual film with a story that happened to feature that character. The sketch version of it is just like, that's who he is. He's like a worse version of MacGyver, also a little racist, super cheesy, never gets the job right. Like the whole movie is him succeeding in spite of himself because he sucks and he always fails. So it's kind of like it's an underdog story. It's like a shittier Rocky, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. So I think that is all we have here for today with the story. So now let's go ahead and jump into emails, unless you wanted to add anything more, Christian, in terms of a story for the week.
Nah, man, let's go to emails.
All right, so let me go ahead, go right here. And again, let me just go ahead and just apologize one more time. Listen, I know we're all having a good time and everyone watching. Thank you so much. my MacBook is getting serviced right now. It happened before the show. So if the transitions are a bit janky, listen, I'll take those fucking remarks all day, you know, but just let it be known it's because I don't have my Mac. So now let's go ahead and jump into the emails. We got Nick Diaz here. Says the sex craze regurgitation of movies and TVs. Miles Christian, good old Nick here talking. And here's the thing. I have a fucking bone to pick. Today you talked about Pen 15 and Big Mouth, which are two things that already have a lot in common about sexuality, awkwardness in sexuality, etc. And that's fine because sometimes shows come out. And that's just the nature of business sometimes. However, there is definitely a trend going on here and it's getting annoying. Have you noticed that this same fucking story happening over and over again? Sex Education just did the same exact thing literally a month ago or maybe even less than a month ago. On top of this, we have movies like Edge of 17, Eighth Grade, as well as TV shows like Chewing Gum and End of the Fucking World that are both Netflix shows. It's too much of the same shit. Is this problematic to you as well? Let me know, dang it. Kristen, let me go ahead and pass this off to you because I didn't even notice it until he brought all of those examples. Are we getting too much saturation with the origins of sex stories and, you know, middle schools and high schools and all that?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're telling the same fucking three stories over and over and over again. Like, we understand the monomyth, right? Everyone is like, the hero's journey is every single story. So to say that we're telling the same story is kind of stupid to me. But beyond that, it's about perspective, right? Like, the difference between Pen 15 and Big Mouth is that this is like the female perspective, something that we can pretend we know about. We don't know shit about being a woman, Miles. I'm sorry to tell you that, especially in formative, awkward fucking years like that. So I think perspective absolutely matters. Chewing Gum is something very similar. I think the concept of that show, though, is that she's a virgin well into her adult life, and she's an immigrant, right? She's a black Londoner, but from Africa or something like that. I don't fucking remember, but it's a different thing. It's a perspective situation. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know what I mean? Like, the idea is that we are all universally going through the same shit, and that's why we can identify with Pen 15, even if we don't completely understand it. But that's the whole idea, is like, we're all telling the same stories over and over again. I don't think we've hit a saturation point yet. I mean, again, sorry, Nick, but if we're 9 seasons into fucking Walking Dead and that's not an oversaturation, I don't know why you're complaining about sex shows. You know what I'm saying? So
that was a low blow, sir. That was a low blow. God damn it, dude. Nick, we love you, dude. Nick is our editor. I just want everyone in the chat just to give him a round of applause. Nick, you do so much for us, more than you know.
Oh, I love Nick. I just need to let him know he's wrong, you know? Yeah. It doesn't change how much I love him. It's just you're wrong.
Oh, my God. You're right. I didn't even think about it that way, where I'm like, oh, yeah, Nick has some great, compelling points here, but you're right. It's all about the perspective. Although Big Mouth follows, you know, these protagonists, they are males, right? When you see something like Pen 15, fuck, now I'm going to see it from the female perspective. And God, I didn't realize, fuck, dude, we got it good as guys sometimes, you know? Like, some of the stuff I saw in Pen 15, I got grossed out with in a good way because I'm like, oh, fuck, like, I thought I had awkward years. I'm like, no, they got it much worse. So yeah, I thought that was a great email. Thank you very much, Nick, our editor, who is amazing. Round of applause for Nick Diaz, everyone. Anyway, let's go ahead and now jump into another email here. Let's go to Jet Jackson. It says, read mine. It's important, but it's really not. Well, now that you're here, I have a question. What are some prejudices you have that keep you from watching and enjoying a show? For example, I refuse to watch Big Mouth. I am bougie when it comes to animation, and Big Mouth looks like Wild Thornberries and Family Guy had a threesome where the wild things are. Also, Paradise PD, I can't watch as well because it looks like Family Guy and Prickleberry had a nasty one-night stand. The humor in those two shows also make me stay away as well. Anyways, good job bringing back the sound. I'm sure that would have been a lot of work putting in subtitles later. Jet, Bravo. I love your sarcasm so much here. Listen, so Christian, is there something that you have a prejudice on? I don't know.
Okay. Well, number one, I feel bad for you for not being able to watch stuff with janky animation just because like that's the most punk rock thing you can possibly do in animation, right? Mm-hmm. This week, by the way, shout out to our boy Dynasty, made a fucking amazing stop motion Lego thing that included us.
Oh, and yeah, like, shout out to Dynasty.
But that's a form of animation. Like it's not as smooth as Wes Anderson stop motion or the Rankin and Bass stuff, but it's still like some artist being able to create something crudely. I think that like Rick and Morty started from the crudest fucking like ripoff of Back to the Future you've ever seen. And I mean, it's horrible animation, but out of that seed of an idea grew this franchise of a show, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's one thing that we have to be a little bit careful of, because sometimes budget and limitation isn't the same thing as something being bad quality wise. So I want to say that. But my gripe, I don't know, like I've never watched The Big Bang Theory for many reasons. We've talked about this a lot, but what I have seen from it is a like weird, it's gonna sound so fucked up, it's like the gentrification of geek culture almost, right? Mm-hmm. Like those fuckers don't know what it's like to be some maligned fucking geek in high school, or like everything's a punchline about the fucking Flash. It's people from the outside writing about some shit that they don't fucking know about. And I don't like that. Now that I'm sure there are better examples of that throughout a bunch of different TV shows, and I'm blanking on it right now. So please let me get your suggestions in the chat below. But stuff like that, it's like taking some perspective you know nothing about and trying to write about it as if you have some knowledge. That bothers the shit out of me. Yeah. But yeah, generally speaking, I don't know. You're worse. Like you didn't want to keep watching The Sopranos because you're like, it looks too 90s to me. You know what I mean? So you're a little bit more critical about the way things look.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's The Sopranos is an example. But it's me saying I didn't want to watch it just because, I don't know. It's like, I don't know why I'm thinking about Spider-Man 1. A lot of people think, or 2, is like considered one of the best, you know, comic book superhero movies, whatever. But now when you look at it CGI-wise and stuff like that, you're like, a lot of that looks corny. So I don't want to like say, but that shouldn't like derail you for what it is, because when it came out at the time, that was so fucking groundbreaking, right? Even in some episodes of The Sopranos, when you punch someone and you hear the whoosh, right? It just kind of like, well, I think that's lame, but you're right. I can't be too critical on it. So I am a hypocrite, Christian. Thank you for calling me out, dude.
No problem.
So, I'll take in full strides. Listen, we have Ken Voorhees chilling with us here, and he sent me an email from last week. So let's go ahead and answer that. It says, reality is closing in on Netflix. So Ken, if you can, I know people can't hear you, but what's this article all about? Oh, that all the big players are coming into play now, and okay.
Apple's getting cut from all the renews, so they changed and stopped doing that.
Okay. So Christian, I mean, this is something we've talked about just even not too long ago with the Twilight Zone stuff. Listen, all the big dogs are coming full throttle in 2019. Should Netflix be scared, or are they pretty much now the Apple of streaming services? Does that make sense?
Nah, man. I mean, we're approaching a dinosaur situation here, man. There's going to be too many big dinosaurs coming up. So yeah, people should be worried, because not every streaming service is going to make it. What's that Gretzky quote about, you don't go where the puck is, you go where the puck's going to go. Netflix, for the longest time, they were ahead of everyone else. They went to streaming before anyone else. They were smart. They had foresight. Now everyone knows what they've done. It's a copycat world. So people are going to come out and people have more money. Like that's the truth of it. Like, you know, Bezos, like all of Netflix is run on AWS, which is Amazon's web space. if Bezos wanted to, he could just like pull the plug on Netflix. That's how much money that guy has. And when you have that much money and a guy who wants to make Amazon Prime the next Netflix, it can happen. When you have someone like Apple who has infinite fucking, you know, capital to make something happen, it can happen. Disney, the same thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think Netflix should be scared, but I will say in their defense, like they haven't slowed down spending at all. They have so many things in production. They're supposed to triple it. Plus they have ventures in Africa, India, Asia, as we've seen from Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that they're branching out to get global content, but it's going to be a race, man. We saw HBO's Folklore last week, right? Yep. Same thing going into the Asian market. So mm-hmm. it's going to be great. It's going to be a really interesting couple of years, but Netflix should be a little bit scared.
All right, and we're nearing the end of the show, so let's just quickly go through these blitz style. It says, from Ryan Walterson, it says, "Hey, Miles, I don't know if you saw, but you and a group of other successful YouTube Dragon Ball fans are in this video from Funimation." What the fuck? Okay. How long is this? I don't want to... Okay, it's 48 seconds.
Like, yo, from the emotion, from the action, okay. The storytelling. Dog, this Dragon Ball Super Broly movie was insane!
I'm fired up.
I love this movie. It made me feel.
Let's like do that double take one more time. Hold on. What? What the fuck? What the fuck?
I loved this.
Hold on.
Action, the storytelling. Talk. This Dragon Ball Super Broly movie was insane.
I'm fired up.
I loved this movie. It made me feel like a kid on the edge of my seat.
It was definitely a very cool experience.
This is amazing.
Oh my god. Okay, I don't want to play the rest of it now because we saw me. So that's all that matters. Yeah, it's 47 seconds long. Dragon Ball fans reaction to Dragon Ball Super Broly. Ryan, thank you for that. That was fucking amazing. And it's crazy because just for 2 seconds, Christian, a lot of these people these are just big Dragon Ball YouTubers that I enjoy a lot of the content that they have to say. Like, this is where we fucking just nerd out about shit like Superman versus Goku and whatnot, and why Goku obviously wins, but I won't get into that today. So that was really awesome. Ryan, thank you for that. That was really cool. And then we got one more email from Mr. Marcus Kilgore himself. And it says here, "Hello, Miles and Christian. Name a TV show that you don't appreciate before but came around to loving it. Great job overcoming the technical issues of today, Marcus." Thank you so much. A TV show I didn't appreciate before but came around to loving it. Christian, this is a cop-out answer for me. As much as you know that I love to make fun of Lost for the longest time, thanks to Joe McHale here from E way back when, I think the first two episodes I saw of Lost, I'm like, I think I can get around to appreciating this. So for all the shit talking I had to say about it in the past, and I know one day I will get into Lost, but not today. That's probably my answer. Do you have a TV show, Christian, that you came around to loving second time around?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't even finish it the first time around. So there's a show called Fringe. That's a sci-fi show that was on Fox for a while. Now, listen, I know most people checked out immediately because most people like me thought Fringe was like that first season and it was really, really bad. All right. But Fringe seasons 2 through the end are just kind of one of the best sci-fi things I've ever seen. I honestly like it more than the X-Files. The reason I bring that up is because they're very similar. It's like, you know, a man and a woman partners. They're going to do all the supernatural shit. But, you know, Fringe ended up being about parallel timelines and existentialism. And I'm like, this is on Fox. Like, how the fuck did this get made? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I mean, I really love that one. And there's a bunch of HBO shows. I mean, I didn't love The Wire right away. The first 4 episodes of The Wire are not the best watch. You really have to labor through it. But then once you get about to the halfway point of that season, you realize you're watching something incredible. So, I mean, that's why I'm really lenient on first seasons. I think it's really hard. Like, pilots are really hard. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. But you know what's even harder after you do a pilot? You have to do a second episode, which a second episode, the rule of that is to reinforce everything you did in the pilot, but add a little bit more. It's a soft pilot. It's a second go around. Gotcha. So it's like, dude, it's fucking hard, man. Thank you. Someone in the chat gets me. Fringe is great. Thank you so much. But yeah, it's one of those things that I can't recommend it enough. And it's also one of the only shows I got to the end of and I cried like a fucking baby because it was so pretty, man. I really can't recommend it enough. So
cool.
That's my answer.
All right, guys. So that is the end of the show today. Of course, if you want to email us, always go to whatsintheboxdt@gmail.com. And chat, here are all of you here in your glory. Thank you so much for coming out, tuning in every Saturday. It really means the world to Christian and myself here. And Christian, where can they go ahead and find you social media wise?
Yeah, you can find me at Christian.Monster on Instagram, Christian Eleon Torres on Facebook. I have a podcast called Where's My Burrito? You can find it on Apple Podcasts. We also have a website called A Little Fire Burning. Me, Ruthless, my fiance, Dolores, bunch of people. We're all on there doing some creative shit. We would love to have you as a contributor or as a patron. So please come support some artists. Yeah, and that's where you can find me.
Cool. And now that I finally got it pulled up, thanks again to Mr. John Torres there for the sick art. And again, I wanted to thank Dynasty for that cool Lego short thing. That was really awesome. So yeah, find us on social media. Have an amazing week, guys. And let me go ahead and get the closing ominous cool song that Christian just does so well for us each and every week. So thank you, guys. We will be back next week. And yeah, take care.